one of the things about scripture is that through intentional manipulation or accidental ignorance, the scripture can often be twisted to say something it never ever tried to say.
在圣经的很多经文中，有很多时候是有的是故意的，有的是无意的，他对这个经文的原文进行扭曲，以至于人没有完没无法完全的能够理解经文的经义。
And one of those subjects that has been one of the most misunderstood of Jesus' teachings is that on adultery, divorce, and the purity of marriage.
所以其中的一个非常重要的这个题目就是我们今天要讲的关于犯奸淫、离婚和婚姻的纯洁性的问题。也是经常被扭曲的一个话题。
And so part four, or it's supposed to be part four, I think. Part four of our series is Jesus' teachings on adultery, divorce, and the purity of marriage.
所以今天我们第四部分的讲道就是关于耶稣关于犯奸淫、离婚和婚姻纯洁性的教导。
And so our text will come out of Matthew chapter 5, starting with verse 27 today.
所以今天的经文是马太福音的五章二十七节开始。
And Esther and I will read back and forth, English and then Mandarin. So Matthew 5:27, coming out of the New International Version, says, You've heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery.
马太福音五章二十七节和合本的翻译是你们听见有话说不可奸淫。
But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart.
只是我告诉你们，凡看见妇女就动淫念的，这人心里已经与她犯奸淫了。
If your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell.
若是你的右眼叫你跌倒，就崴出来丢掉，宁可失去白体中的一体，不叫全身丢在地狱里了。
And if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell.
若是右手叫你跌倒，就砍下来丢掉，宁可失去白体中的一体，不叫全身丢在地狱里。
It has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce.
又有话说，人若休妻，就当给她休书。
But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, makes her the victim of adultery, and anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery.
只是我告诉你们，凡休妻的，若不是为淫乱的缘故，就是叫她做淫妇了。人若娶这被休的妇人，也是犯奸淫了。
So, Jesus' teachings on adultery, divorce, and purity of marriage is what we're going to focus on today.
所以今天我们将专注在耶稣教导关于犯奸淫、离婚和婚姻的纯洁性。
So principle number one today says, context determines meaning. The task of every Bible interpreter and theologian is to understand what the original author's intended message was to their original audience and how that message still applies today.
所以原则一，语境决定经文的意思。每个圣经的解释者和神学家，他们的任务就是要了解原作者想要向他们的原始受众所要传达的经文的意思，以及明白该信息如何在今天仍然适用的一种方式。
All right, so we're going to Bible nerd it here a little bit. So when we talk about context, there are different types of context, and there's all kinds of them. But some of the ones we need to be aware of is authorial context, who said it, historical context, what's the history behind it, physical, where is this taking place now, grammatical, cultural, rhetorical, language, literary, societal. So you don't have to remember all that, but just understand when we talk about context, it's more than just one thing, okay?
好，我们先来讲语境有哪些不同的类型。语境包括作者、历史、他所处的这个地理的环境、语法、文化、修辞、语言、文学和社会。我们只是不需要掌握所有的关于语境的这个解释，但是你要明白语境，当我们讲到语言的环境、经文的这个语境的时候，我们要知道它是涉及到不同的方面。
So context helps readers understand what they otherwise would not be able to comprehend. It is a necessary assistant, helping readers define unknown words and make sense of outside information. Without context, readers would not be able to fully understand the original author's intent.
所以语境呢是帮助读者理解他们原本呢无法理解的一些内容。它帮助读者能够定义一些未知的单词，并且理解外部的信息，这些都是必不可少的。没有语境，读者就无法完全的理解作者的意图。
So again, context determines meaning, the task of every Bible interpreter and theologian. If you didn't know it, you're all supposed to be Bible interpreters, and you're all theologians, whether you know it or not. So the task of every Bible interpreter and theologian is to understand what the original author's intended message was to their original audience, and how that message still applies today.
所以原则一，语境决定经义。我们知道我们在座的每一位，我们都是圣经的解释者，也是一位神学者。所以你们的任务也是要了解原作者想要向其原始的受众所要传达的信息，以及明白该信息如何应用在当今的世界，你当下的生活当中。
So we're going to look at a couple things regarding context that we need to know in order to be able to translate this passage appropriately.
所以我们现在要来看一下有哪一些单词，有哪一些语境相关的这个类型，能够更好的来理解我们的经文。
So language context is what we're going to first look at.
所以语言类型的这个语境，我们会先关注。
So for those of us that speak more than one language, we understand that when you're translating from one language to another, there is not always the exact word equivalence in the language you're translating to, which is why a lot of times you'll see pastors and preachers tell you about the original Greek or the original Hebrew. So there is something we need to know about the original Greek in this passage.
所以我们很多说两种语言或者说要去学习两种语言的人都会明白一种语言的这个意义很难用另一种语言确切的准确的来翻译出来，有时候没有办法完全的在这个语言当中寻找跟它语义相同的这个字句。所以我们今天的经文会从希腊文的原文当中来明白这个经文的意思。
So as you can see on our slide there for verse 27, you've heard that it was said you shall not commit adultery. We have adultery underlined and highlighted, and you see the Greek word, which is translated adultery, moichiusis.
好，大家看到的这个经文马太福音五章二十七节，你们听见有话说不可奸淫，这个奸淫两个字是把它变成了黄色。那么这两个的希腊文的原文呢，就是 moichiusis.
I can't pronounce. Who knows what the real pronunciation is? Very good. Oh, sorry, I should have had your slide. Okay, so in Greek, just like in Spanish, the root word stays the same, but the prefix or the ending changes depending on singular, plural, all these things. So I just want to point out, in 28, the word adultery, again, it's moichiusin. I'm going to come back for you. And then we'll focus on 32.
好，我们先到这个第32节，5章32节。因为希腊文跟那个英文有些相似，就是它的字根是一样的，但是它是字主体是一样，字根会有变化，所以字根变化的时候，字义也会有一些相应的变化。
Okay, so this is why we're covering it. Verse 32. Depending on your translation, the word that is underlined sexual immorality, different translations translate it different ways. And we're going to get to that in a minute. But I need you to understand that the word that here in the New International Version is translated sexual immorality is the word porneus. It's not the moichi anything. As you see adultery every other time, it's the moichi word. Sexual morality is porneus.
好，我们看到马太福音五章三十二节的时候，我们看到在这个画成标成黄色的，就是若不是为淫乱的缘故，这个淫乱呢，它在希腊原文叫 moiches， 它并不是前面一个当我们谈到犯奸淫的时候的这个 moichesai。这个字，所以这两个字是不一样的。所以我们看到这里的这个淫乱和上面讲到的这个犯奸淫，在27节讲到的犯奸淫是两个不同的字。
So that's language context. And because this word does not have a direct equivalent in English, we need to also look at what is the biblical definition of this moichi root word.
所以我们因为在这个英文的这个翻译当中很难找到确切的字来对它进行翻译，所以我们要从圣经的角度来看这个 moichesis 到底是什么意思。
Okay, so in the Old Testament, adultery in the Old Testament involves sexual intercourse with mutual consent between a man, married or unmarried, and the wife of another man.
在旧约当中讲到犯奸淫这个字指的是已婚的或者是未婚的男子与另一位男子的妻子之间双方自愿的一种性交。
So what's different about the way we understand adultery today is if it was a man, married or unmarried, and he had mutual sexual consent with a single woman, that would not be adultery.That would be fornication. Okay.
Okay. 在当时的这个旧约环境当中，我们知道这个已婚或者是单身的男子跟一个未婚的单身的女子发生性关系，自愿的性关系是不落入到犯奸淫这个范畴之内的。
Okay. So question, because we're understanding the limitations of the original author.In the original setting with the original audience, why do you think it talks about a man married or unmarried? Why does it not say a man or a woman?
所以在大家想思考一下这个问题，在当时的场景，在原作者当时的这个语境下面，为什么他没有指到说他是指到了这个已婚或者未婚的男人？但是却没有讲已婚或者未婚的女人这件事。
So literal question, why is it just a man and not also include a woman?
那么为什么在这个上面只讲到了男人而没有讲到女人？
Which one of our Bible interpreters and theologians is going to answer? Why?
所以请每一位神学家，在座的神学家来回答一下。
Anybody know?
为什么？
The women don't have rights at this time.
因为在当时的这个时代，女人是没有任何权利的。
Society considers them property, not God, but society does.
所以并不是上帝，而是这当时的社会认为女人是没有地位、没有权利的。
And God knows the culture and the society into which He's giving His people His word.So this doesn't mean God approves of them thinking women are property, but he's addressing the culture and meeting them where they are.
所以上帝是根据当时的社会环境，当时的这个历史背景而向 这个当时的听众所传讲的这个指令，但是并不表示神只是对男人来说话。
Okay, so this is the word that's been translated adultery that we're dealing with.
所以这个是关于犯奸淫这个词的这个语义的解释。
Now the other word I called before we get to the next word. So I don't want you to just take my word for it. You'll see it in a few texts here. In Leviticus 20:10, and you'll see how it's just about married women. Again, women are property, right? So single women have even less rights than married women do. So Leviticus 20:10 says, if a man commits adultery with another man's wife, see, not just with a woman. If a man commits adultery with another man's wife, with the wife of his neighbor, both the adulterer and the adulteress are to be put to death.
所以我们来看几段经文，在利未记20:10说到，与邻舍之妻行淫的，奸夫淫妇都必致死。所以这里大家可以看到，这个女性是指邻舍的这个妻子。
Leviticus 20:11, if a man has sexual relations with his father's wife, meaning his stepmother, he has dishonored his father. Both the man and the woman are to be put to death. Their blood will be on their own heads.
在利未记的接下来的经文11讲到与继母行淫的，就是羞辱了他的父亲，总要把他们二人致死。
And Leviticus 20:12, if a man has sexual relations with his daughter-in-law, both of them are to be put to death. What they have done is a perversion. Their blood will be on their own heads.
与儿妇同房的，总要把他们二人致死。他们行了逆伦的事，罪要归到他们身上。
All right, and the last one to put the nail in the coffin, I think, is Deuteronomy 22:22. If a man is found sleeping with another man's wife, both the man who slept with her and the woman must die. You must purge the evil from Israel. Do you see all of it is about another man's wife, not just women, okay?
所以我们最后看一节经文是《生命记》22:22。若遇见人与有丈夫的妇人行淫的，就要将奸夫淫妇一并致死，这样就把那恶从以色列中除掉。我们看到这个行淫的对象还是有丈夫的妇人。
Okay, so we can see here, the next word, porneia, which in the New International Version is translated as sexual immorality. We need to understand the difference between adultery and the mochi word and porneia. Porneia is something less specific than sexual infidelity, but more than something frivolous. I am going to tell you my definition of how I understand it. Porneia includes any sinful activity that intentionally breaks the marriage covenant or divides the marital relationship.
好，我们接下来来看另外一个单词，希腊单词叫 porneia， 因为这个词跟我们刚才讲到的犯奸淫 mochia 这个字是两个。所以什么是 porneia 呢？它不像是性不忠，也就是刚才讲的犯奸淫那样的具体，但也不仅仅是讲轻浮的行为。所以在这里porneia 就是我们给它一个定义，就是任何的故意破坏婚姻的契约，或者是分裂婚姻关系的这种罪恶的行为，都是归类到 porneia 这个上面。
So I'm just showing you here how several different literal translation Bibles have translated the word porneia, because what made it really confusing was the King James, because it was just everything was adultery. And like what? A woman who commits adultery is guilty of adultery? Yeah, kind of makes sense. Different.I think most experts are settling on sexual morality, but the New Living Translation calls it unfaithfulness. And I think that's somewhere between sexual morality and unfaithfulness is this realm of porneia. Anything that breaks the marriage covenant. Okay?
所以我们再来看一下porneia 这个字在不同版本的圣经翻译中翻译当中中文是怎么说的。在 NIV 就是我们的和合本当中，它是翻译成这个淫乱。 那么在 NLT 就是我们的新生活这个翻译当中呢，它是翻译成不忠诚。这个在 ESV 就是这个中文翻译当中是叫不争。然后呢，不过有一个特别的，就是 KJV 就是我们叫King's Version 上面是翻译成犯奸淫。所以事实上在 KJV 上面跟那个两个字是没办法来区分的。
Okay, good. So, sorry for that long context, but we have to know this context so we can go deeper. So again, principle one, context determines meaning. The task of every Bible interpreter and theologian is to understand what the original author's intended message was to their original audience and how that message still applies today.
所以大家都看到这个语境的分析的重要性，光是这两个希腊语的分析就让我们知道语境对经文的意思的解释是非常重要的。所以呢，我们只有回到还原到原始作者对原始受众所要表达的这个信息上面，我们才能够更好的去理解这个经文的意思。
Okay, principle two. This is about context. Why we had to look at literary context. Now we're going to look at a different context. God originally instituted the certificate of divorce in order to protect the sanctity of marriage and to protect innocent women and wives.
好，我们接下来再看另外一层的经义，就是我们要讲的原则二。上帝最初设立离婚证书的目的是为了保护婚姻的神圣性和保护无辜的妇女和妻子。
So we're going to look at the first time God gave the Israelites the law about the certificate of divorce through Moses. Deuteronomy 24:1 says, If a man marries a woman who becomes displeasing to him, but because he finds something indecent about her, and he writes her a certificate of divorce, gives it to her, and sends her from his house.
我们来看一下一段经文。这段经文是当时上帝借着摩西来第一次传讲关于离婚的这个事情。生命记24:1，人若娶妻之后以他有什么不合理的事不喜悦他，就可以写休书交在他手中，打发他离开夫家。
And if after she leaves his house,She becomes the wife of another man.
妇人离开夫家以后可以去嫁别人。
And her second husband dislikes her and writes her a certificate of divorce, gives it to her and sends her from his house, or if he dies,
后夫若憎恶她，写休书交在她手中，打发她离开夫家，或是娶她为妻的后夫死了。
Then her first husband who divorced her is not allowed to marry her again after she has been defiled.
打发她去的前夫不可在妇人玷污之后再娶她为妻。
That would be detestable in the eyes of the Lord. Do not bring sin upon the land the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance.
因为这是耶和华所憎恶的。不可使耶和华你神所赐你为业之地被玷污了。
Okay, so let's go back to the scene and make sure we understand what's happening here. So God is saying, if a man divorces his wife, and he says, you know, there's something about her that doesn't make her right, gives her a certificate of divorce, another man marries her, and either he comes to the same conclusion or he dies, that the first husband cannot marry her again.Right?
所以我们回到经文的这个意思。这个经文说的是如果一个人娶了一个妻子，然后觉得这个妻子呢不合适，那么他就可以写休书给他，然后这个妻子又与另外一个人结婚，这个人呢又觉得他不好，或者这个人也死了，那么他也一样可以有一封休书。这个是整个这个经文的这个意思。
So, literal question. Who would divorce a woman that he says something's wrong with her, she marries somebody else, and later on down the line and she ends up single again, he wants to marry her again? Why would he do that?
所以我们来思想一下，就是从第一个丈夫把他休掉了，跟他离婚了，然后呢，这个妻子呢，他跟另外一个人结婚，这个人死了，或者说又跟这个人离婚之后，为什么这个第一个男人又要跟他去结婚呢？
Some of us that are divorced, to hear that, the thought of that makes us reach for our gun on our side. What? No!
OK, 所以这个其实是就是我们会经常发生的，这个在我们的日常生活中并不是那么少见。
So for reals, why would a man want to marry her again?
所以请问大家，为什么这个男人又要回去跟这个原来他写过休书的女人结婚？
It doesn't make sense unless there was nothing wrong with her in the beginning.
所以大家知道，其实只有一个原因，就是在最初的时候，这个妇人并没有做任何她所说的不合理的事情，那么她才愿意再跟他结婚。
And this is how men were fulfilling the letter of the law while violating the spirit and the heart of the law.
所以这就是男人常常经常做的，他们看似是遵守了这个律例的这个字句，但是他们却真实的违背了律例的真意。
So follow the thought. Men would get engaged, marry a woman who's a virgin, get what they want, say she's no good, give her a certificate of divorce, start again with another one.
所以我们来试想一下，一个男的跟一个就是处女结婚了，然后呢他获得了他想要的一切，然后又找一个借口说他有不合适的事情，就把他休掉了。
And they would be doing it legally.
所以呢，这个就是男人用一个合法的方式，就是所谓的合法的方式，得到了他所要的。
And because there were so many men doing this, they understood that the divorced wives, there was nothing wrong with them. So then they would marry them. And that's the context behind whoever marries a divorced woman also commits adultery, is causing her to commit adultery. Because the men, as they're doing this, are saying, I'm free. There's nothing wrong with what I'm doing. And Jesus is taking it to the next level, showing them, man, you have violated the law in every single way.
所以上帝的原意是说，如果这个妻子做了你认为不检点的事情，你可以跟他离婚。但是这个男人用了这个经文当中的字句作为他的借口，因为其实他没有做任何所谓的不检点的事情而跟他离婚。所以上帝在这里特别的指出说，如果你再回去跟这个女的结婚，或者这个女的没有任何不检点的事情，再婚的情况，那么就是让她成为了一个犯奸淫的人。
And because the women were considered more property than anything else, they had no legal rights to work jobs or to own land. So when their husband would divorce them, and if they didn't have a certificate of divorce, they really left them in the worst possible position you could leave another human being.
所以我们知道在古代的时候，妇女就被视为男人的一个从属物，或者说一个物品。那么在这种情况下，如果她在没有任何这个做错任何事情的情况下，被无缘无故的这个驱逐出家的话，其实对这个女人来讲是非常不堪的状态。那么她会被误认为是一个妓女，或者是犯奸淫的女人从家里逃出来的。
So do you see how by God doesn't want divorce, but he creates divorce and the certificate of divorce to protect the sanctity of marriage, so they can't keep doing that, and to protect innocent women and wives from being abused in this way.
所以大家可以看到，上帝其实是不喜悦离婚的，但是在最初的时候，他设立了这个离婚证书这个动作，其实是为了能够保护婚姻的神圣性， 也是为了保护无辜的妇女和妻子。
And just for historical context, we go back to verse 1 of Deuteronomy 24. If a man marries a woman, again, why is it not a man and a woman? Why doesn't it say if a man marries, I mean, sorry, why doesn't it say if a woman marries a man? Because women don't have rights. They will be killed before they ever try to divorce a husband, right? So again, we're just understanding the original limitations from Moses, from God to Moses to the Israelites in their time.
所以我们再回到《生命记》24章1节，我们来看一下就是历史类型的语境问题。在这里大家可以看到，他这里讲到的是一个男人跟一个女人结婚，娶妻之后发生的这个事情。那为什么在这里经文当中没有提到一个女人娶了一个男人之后所发生的事情，或者是女人主动的提出离婚跟男人离婚的事呢？因为女人在当时的历史背景下她是没有任何的权利的，如果她提出离婚她就会被处死。
Okay, so principle number three, divorce can be appropriate, legitimate, or permissible before God in certain situations, but it is never commanded.
原则三，在某些情况下，离婚在上帝面前是合适的，是合法的，也是被允许的。但是上帝从来没有命令我们要离婚。
And three and four go together, so we're going to read four to get to explain both. No other human relationship best exemplifies or comes close to being an accurate representation of the covenant between God and his people.As much as a marriage does.
没有任何其他的人际关系能像婚姻一样能够最好的体现或者接近准确的来代表上帝和他子民之间的盟约关系。
So there are many human relationships where we get a glimpse of God's covenant with his people.
所以有很多人际关系我们可以从某种程度上来映射上帝和他子民的关系。
Right, so like the parental-child relationship is another good reflection, but it's not best because in marriage, two people become one. And it, being a parent, it may start off as one, but becomes two.
所以我们来看一下父母和孩子的关系，当然能够有某种程度上可以体现天父和我们这个儿女之间的关系，但是没有一种关系是夫妻两人合二为一的这种关系能够更加准确的体现上帝和他子民的那种合一的关系。
So because the marriage relationship and the marriage covenant is the best representation between God and his peopleThis is why divorce is not commanded.
所以正是因为上帝和他子民的这种盟约的亲密的关系，它体现在我们的婚约关系、婚姻的盟约关系之中，所以上帝他不会命令我们要去离婚。
I know that nobody here has violated the covenant with God ever in their life, but I have. And because I have,Jesus has forgiven me. He's reconciled me to himself, even though I broke the covenant. And that's why when covenants are broken in marriage, yes, you have legal requisite to get a divorce, but you don't have to. You can choose the way of the kingdom first, depending on the offenses, and work through reconciliation and forgiveness and mercy. In other words, divorce should never be our first action.
所以我相信在座的都没有在婚姻关系中做任何不好的事情，但是我做了所以呢，但是就因为我破坏了这个婚姻的这个盟约的关系，婚姻的这个关系，才让神他的这个宽恕、他的恩典、他的饶恕、他的和解的大能在我的婚姻当中重新来做修复的工作，然后 我可以在神的这个大能当中重新来建立新的这个婚姻的关系。
So let's make sure we're clear. There are real reasons, appropriate reasons, legitimate reasons, permissible reasons why somebody has to get divorced.
所以我们这里再强调一次，确实在某种程度上或者某种情况下存在合适的、合法的或者是被允许的原因来进行离婚。
But not every act of porneia, unfaithfulness, immorality, or sexual immorality has to lead to divorce.
但并不是每一种的这个 porneia, 就是我们讲过的不忠诚、不贞洁或者说不检点的行为都必须要导致婚姻的结束。
And in reality, for God's people, Principle 5 teaches us Jesus' disciples can have the kind of marriage that God originally designed for his children here and now.
所以在事实上就是我们要讲的下一个原则五，就是在此时此地，耶稣的每一位门徒，包括我们在座的，可以拥有世界上拥有上帝最初为他的孩子们所设计的婚姻关系。
If we all had the kind of marriages, for those of us that are married, that God originally designed for his children, the word divorce would never be found on our lips.
所以我们试想一下，如果我们每一对夫妻都可以活出上帝为他的孩子们为他的子民们所设计的那种坚固的这个婚姻关系的话，我们的嘴巴上就不会出现离婚这两个字。
But the reality is we don't live in the complete kingdom of God right now.
但是事实上，现实上，我们并还没有生活在神的天国当中。
We live in a sin-ravaged filled world ruled by Satan and his demons, where sin is a constant destroyer of the self and relationships.
但是我们其实是生活在这个堕落的世界，在黑暗的权势所掌权的这个世界当中，我们所有的这个人际关系都被破坏，包括我们的婚姻关系。
And the thing we must never forget, we talk about this all the time here, God also calls his children to hard things too.
所以在这里我们要牢记，这个上帝他不仅是呼召了我们，他也呼召我们要修复我们身边所有的关系。
Who here can control how much someone changes in the future?
在座的谁可以来改变任何的人？
Who here can make someone change to what they want in the future?
谁可以来这个将在座的任何一个人来改变成他想要的样子？
Sometimes God calls us to hard relationships.
所以神是呼召我们来保护保守我们的各种人际关系。
And that hard relationship on this side of heaven will probably never beEverything God originally created.
所以我们在天堂的另一边，就是我们在这个堕落的世界当中，我们可能很多的关系，人际关系都无法像神所最初所设立的那个样子。
But do you realize that that's actually not the most important thing to God? God's not interested in you having a picturesque marriage.
所以大家有没有注意到，这个其实并不是神上帝所最关心的一件事情。
He's interested in you developing holiness and becoming like him through the marriage, no matter what is unfair, no matter what is hard, no matter the pain, no matter the suffering. How you go through that process is everything to God.
神最为关心，最为关注的事情是我们在座的每一位如何在婚姻的这个不公、不争、不忠这个困难的这个过程中 能够建立自己的忠贞，建立自己的圣洁，这个才是神所关心的事情。
So not only can we have the kind of marriage God originally designed for his children here and now, you can be the ambassador that begins that process to turn your marriage into what God wanted from the beginning.
所以在这里最最重要的是你如何成为神的婚姻的大使，在你自己所处的婚姻关系当中来开始这样的一个从污秽到圣洁的这样一个过程。
But do you know the cost?
但是你知道代价吗？
And this is why Jesus will keep building on the Sermon on the Mount, that we don't do eye for eye or tooth for tooth.
所以这也是耶稣基督在登山宝训上为我们做出的最重要的这个教导。我们并不是以言还言，以牙还牙。
It's one of the many facets as to why Jesus says we must love our enemies.
所以这也是耶稣所说的，我们要爱我们的仇敌。
Do we realize how sad that is that many of us have relationships where former loved ones or bloodline members of ours are our enemies?
但是我们有没有注意到，其实我们很多的前夫、前妻，或者是甚至是我们的亲兄弟姐妹，却变成了我们的敌人，我们的仇敌。
Fighting with our enemies, fighting with those we don't get along with, will never result in ushering in more of the kingdom.
所以如果我们还是继续的 与他们争斗，继续的与他们抗争，继续的不接纳他们，那么我们没有办法在我们自己的身上创建出神天国的样式来。
How did Jesus usher in his kingdom?
所以耶稣是如何教导关于天国的信息？
He modeled.
所以他先自己做榜样。
He taught.
他教导。
He suffered.
他受苦。
Alright. If you want to see God do in your life what he wants to do, it's coming with pain and suffering.
所以如果你要根据耶稣的教导去活出你的生命来，那么你也要预备好要受苦。
And this is why so many of us don't receive what God has in store for us.
所以这也是为什么我们很多人无法去真正的去获得上帝为我们预备好的各样的福分。
Because none of us wants pain.
因为我们没有人喜欢痛苦，没有人喜欢受苦。
And so understand, we can partner with God to bring in his kingdom here on earth, but most importantly,and we could bring it into our marriages, and we could bring it into our family, but you can't bring it into any of those if the kingdom of God doesn't enter in here first.
所以我们要牢记，我们在把神他的作为、他的教导、他的精神带到我们任何的人际关系、带到我们的家庭之前，我们先要神的国、他的旨意成就在我们的里面。先要将他自己在我们里面成就了，我们才可以活出在不同的人际关系当中。
Until you bow down before God and tell him, I will do whatever you say, regardless of the personal cost, regardless of the sacrifice, regardless of the fact that I'm not going to get thanked for it, people may never ever even acknowledge it, I'm going to do this for you, Lord, and not anybody else.
直到有一天你真正的顺服匍匐敬拜在神的面前说主啊，我愿意为你来摆上，不管别人接受与不接受，不管别人是拒绝与否，我为你而做。
So again, principle 5, Jesus' disciples can have the kind of marriage that God originally designed for his children here and now, but not without pain, not without suffering, not without sacrifice.
所以在这里原则五讲到，就在此时此地，耶稣的门徒可以拥有上帝最初为他的孩子们所设计的婚姻关系，但是要牢记，这种婚姻关系的维续必须要付上代价，那就是痛苦的代价、牺牲的代价、受苦的代价。
Principle number six, we must always be mindful of what Jesus said and what Jesus did not say, while never forsaking the heart and spirit behind his original intended message.
原则六，我们必须时刻牢记耶稣说过的话和没有说过的话，同时永远不要抛弃最初他所传讲的信息背后的用心和真意。
So we're going to look now at the grammatical and language context again. Matthew 5:27 says, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.'"
马太福音五章二十七节，你们听见有话说，不可奸淫。
But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart.
只是我告诉你们，凡看见妇女就动淫念的，这人心里已经与她犯奸淫了。
Okay, so, and we know that the main object here is married women.
所以我们这里看到，这里主要的主题是针对已婚的妇人。
So does that mean I can look at a single woman with lust in my heart, but not be guilty of adultery?
所以在这里我想问一下，我可不可以对着一个单身的女人来这个产生这种情欲和淫乱的念头呢？
Does this mean a woman can look at a man with lust, but not commit adultery?
那么是不是指女人也是一样可以有这样一种情欲的看着这个男人呢？
Can I as a man look at another man with lust and not be guilty of adultery?
那能不能一个男人看着另外一个男人同样的有这样的一个淫乱的这个情欲在里面呢？
See, there's the literal word, but then there's the original heart, the original intent, and the original spirit behind it.
所以我们一样的，就是经文有它字句，每一个文学的字句，但是我们要看这里面的这个真正的经义和它的真实的意义。
So hearing the master's voice is not just about what scripture literally says. What's the original heart, the original spirit, and the original intent behind it? Because the Pharisees and the men and these men in the Old Testament were very good about fulfilling the literal law while they violated the heart, the spirit, and the intent.
所以我们这里要看到主耶稣在这里对我们所传讲的信息的用心和真意，而因为我们知道法利赛人是最擅长对于字句的文字进行解释，但是却违背了上帝所给我们传达的这个经义背后的真正的意思。
Alright, so just to reiterate, Jesus said what he said, but he never said only men or only married men commit adultery as they lust after only married women. He never said women are immune to lust. He never said lust only occurs when the targeted object of lust is a married woman. And he never said that the sin of lust does not occur within the same sex.
所以我们刚才已经读过这个经文当中耶稣所说过的话，那么我们来看耶稣从未说过的。第一个就是只有男人对已婚的女子产生情欲时才会犯奸淫，是只有。那么第二点是什么呢？女人对情欲是免疫的。第三个，只有当欲望的对象是已婚女性的时候才会发生情欲，这个耶稣从来没有说过。那么第四个呢，同性之间不会发生情欲的这个罪孽，这个耶稣也从来没有说过。
Let's look at one more example. Matthew 5:31 says, "It has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce."
所以我们再举多一个例子，在马太福音五章三十一节， 又有话说，人若休妻，就当给他休书。
But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for, let's use the word porneia, makes her the victim of adultery. And anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery.
只是我告诉你们，凡休妻的，若不是为淫乱的缘故，这里的淫乱就是 porneia， 就是叫她做淫妇了。人若娶这被休的妇人，也是犯奸淫了。
So again, the focus on the back half of this scripture is not that the woman who's been divorced and remarried is an adulteress. It's that the men who keep divorcing and marrying divorced women because there's nothing wrong with them in the first place are committing adultery.
所以这里经文讲的就是这一个男人他以 无缘无故但是借口他不检点的这个原因跟这个妇人跟他的原来的妻子离婚然后呢让这个被离婚的女子在再婚的时候却过了一个犯奸淫的这个名头所以这里讲的是这个男人的问题
So two things Jesus makes it very clear to the men that have been violating his law legally that they're all guilty of adultery
所以耶稣这里指的是这个男人用经这个律法当中的字句合理合法的完成了他的这个离婚的这个动作但是事实上他却犯了这个奸淫因为他把一个没有过错的没有任何这个不检点行为的这个妇女让他再婚的时候那么这个男人就是犯了奸淫
So they're guilty because they've lusted after women in their heart?
因他们这个犯罪是因为他们里面的这个情欲。
And they're guilty of adultery because they've been divorcing women for no reason and then remarrying other women that were divorced just to satisfy their physical needs.
所以他们的罪的第二点就是说他们无缘无故的 把一个他原来的妻子离婚了。那么然后他可以再次的去满足他自己的这个情欲跟另外一个女人来结婚这个是违背了神对于婚姻的这个盟约关系是一种犯罪
And remember that the context of the audience is these are God's people They were God's people in Deuteronomy which was the they just came out of Egypt all of them just been saved and here you have the Sermon on the Mount although we have the disciples the crowd and the opponents
所以我们看到这个生命记摩西传讲的对象就是神的子民那么同样的在登山宝训上面耶稣所讲的这个对象也是有他的门徒还有很多的这个跟随者
So he's proving to the men that are guilty that they're all guilty of adultery but he hasn't divorced them yet
所以他就是耶稣借着这一段经文告诉所有的男人那么因为你已经犯了这个情欲的罪其实你已经在婚姻关系上有罪了
And I'm sure the question that should have been left for them was So who are you to keep divorcing people and keep cheating my laws legally
所以耶稣在这里就是在问这些男人你是谁你有什么权利跟一个无辜的女人离婚而自己已经犯了淫乱的罪
And I don't know how many of you know this but unfortunately divorcees have not had a real good time in church for a long 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 time
所以大家知不知道就是在历史上其实很多被离婚的妇人在这个教会里面是被歧视的
They've often been looked down as less than because of the divorce.
所以因为离婚其实在教会的整个的这个社区里面是完全被这个歧视被看低的
And so it's important to know what Jesus said and what he did not say.
所以我们要非常的这个注意耶稣究竟说了什么他没有说什么
Jesus never said a legitimately divorced person, in God's eyes, can never remarry.
所以耶稣从未说过，合法离婚的人在上帝的眼中永远不能再婚。
Don't you realize in Deuteronomy 24, the expectation was that they were going to remarry? Do you remember this text, right? It says, whoever divorces his wife and then she marries another, wait a minute, it's automatically assumed she's going to remarry. And yet somehow we've developed this bad theology that divorcees are not supposed to remarry, which is more Catholic. It's more Catholic than it is Christian.
所以我们看到在这个生命记24章当中讲到，就是这个男人写了一封休书给这个女人以后，这个女人又再婚了。所以其实在这个圣经当中，它是非常明确的有讲到再婚的事情。
Jesus never said an illegitimately divorced person in his eyes can never remarry either.
所以耶稣也从来没有说过非法离婚的人在上帝的眼中永远不能再婚。
Jesus never said illegitimate divorce or illegitimate marriage in his eyes are unpardonable sins.
耶稣也从没有说过非法离婚和非法结婚都是不可饶恕的罪。
We must always be mindful of what Jesus said and what Jesus did not say.
所以我们必须时刻的牢记耶稣说过的话和没有说过的话，同时永远不要抛弃他最初所传讲的信息背后的用意和真意。
While never forsaking the heart and spirit behind his original intended message.
所以重要的是要牢记他最初的信息背后的这个真正的用意。
And our last principle today, number 7. While there are always consequences for disobeying the Lord, we must be careful not to create extra oppressive burdens that just disappeared. Look at me see. careful not to create extra oppressive burdens that cancel out God's grace, mercy, forgiveness, and restoration.
所以原则七是，虽然悖逆不顺服神对上帝对我们的旨意总会有一些后果，但是我们必须要小心，不要制造额外的沉重的负担，从而消灭了上帝的怜悯、他的恩典和宽恕以及恢复。
Throughout this Sermon on the Mount, throughout the Beatitudes, throughout the antithesis statements, which is what we're going through now, and everything that follows, one thing remains crystal clear that Jesus is pointing out. Every single person has sinned and sinned and sinned and sinned and doesn't deserve to be in covenant with God. But because of his grace, because of his mercy, because of Jesus' sacrifice, we get to be in covenant with him.
Amen. 所以我们从这么多系列的这个从耶稣的登山宝训开始，他这么多的教导，他不断的就是告诉我们，我们在座的每一位，我们每一个世人都犯了罪，都亏欠了神的荣耀，但是因着他的恩典，因着上帝的恩典，因着他十字架上的救恩，我们得救赎，我们得以跟神和好。
If Jesus could walk for 3 years with Judas and break bread with him and love him and serve alongside him, knowing what's going to happen, how can we not sacrifice for the people that we're in relationship with, that we're supposed to love and they're supposed to love us?
我们试想一下，耶稣基督花了3年的时间跟出卖他的犹大一起的生活，一起的掰饼，一起在同一个桌上来掰饼。他爱他，他关心他，爱护他。我们来试想这个耶稣和犹大的关系的时候，我们就更加容易 去为我们任何的关系去付出，为我们的这个任何人际关系去关心爱护。
There will always be consequences for disobeying God.
所以我们知道违背神，不顺服神的旨意，都会有某种程度的这个后果。
But we must let people face God and have that encounter with Him without us getting in the way.
所以我们能做的就是把这个人带到神的面前，让他来面对神，而不是让我们自己成为了这个人，来到神面前，重新回到神面前的一个障碍。
There are sins in this world that every one of us struggles with more. I don't mean our personal sins. We struggle with those too. But there are sins committed by others that we don't do, that we struggle with a lot, and we don't tend to give them grace. We don't give them mercy. We create extra burdens and make it harder for them to come to Jesus, and we are guilty in that. And we need to stop being guilty there.
所以我们来想一下，有一些这个世上的罪，这些罪并不是我们自己所造成的，是别人或者是任何的原因所造成的这些罪孽。那么我们从内心里面，我们无法去饶恕，无法去宽恕这些罪，那么我们自己的不饶恕就成了这些人来到神面前的这个障碍。
Society loves to cancel people.
所以你知道吗，这个社会我们总是偏向于去消亡这些人，就是让这些所谓犯罪的人不再我的眼前出现。
Society loves to cancel relationships.
我们也愿意去逃避，或者说去结束一些这个人际关系。
They love showing no mercy and no grace.
我们总是喜欢，我们不表达我们自己的这个饶恕，我们也不愿意去表达我们自己的原谅，我们更不愿意去表达我们更深的这个爱和接待。
So how much should we, the people of God, then multiply grace, multiply love, multiply understanding?
那么作为神的儿女的我们，是不是更应该更多的来彰显神的这个恩典，应该更多的来显现神的爱，更多的来显现神的饶恕和宽恕，更多的来显现神和好的大能。
From now on, when the Holy Spirit convicts you of your sins, I know it creates shame in us, but shame that's meant to drive us to confession and repentance.
所以我们知道，当这个圣灵在里面鉴察我们，我们里面看到我们的罪行的时候，我们里面会有羞耻感，但是我们要知道，羞耻感不能把我们带到悔改里面去，不能把我们带到认罪里面去。
And I think most of us are pretty good at that.
我们知道很多人都愿意住在这个羞耻感里面。
But most of us are not good at understanding the connection between our own sinfulness and the grace that we are supposed to pour out on everyone as a result, because we know what we are. So how dare we not understand that about every person around us?
所以我们很少把自己，我们所经历的这个我们的罪得赦免这样的一个恩典，跟别人他还处在这个罪的这个羞耻感当中，这样的一种感觉能够联系起来，能够设身处地的去想说，这个人他也是要深得神的赦免，我们要做的就是要把他带到神的面前，但是我们没有办法去这么想。
So when someone we're in a relationship with, romantic relationship, sibling relationship, parental relationship, when they do things that hurt us, when they sin against us, let us multiply grace and love and forgiveness and understanding. Amen?
Amen. 所以我盼望我们能够在 这个夫妻的关系, 在父子的关系, 在 朋友的关系当中, 如果有任何你因为人际关系受到了伤害, 受到了不公的 对待的时候, 我们也能够将神的这个恩典, 神的饶恕, 多而又多地把它活出来, 能够将这样的一个关系, 在神的里面,
I will pray. Don't translate my prayer. You pray after that in Mandarin. Okay? Father God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you that although we are filthy, good for nothing, sinners and adulterers and cheats and liars and greedy and envious and jealous and self-centered, and all the things that come before, after, and in between. We thank you, Lord, that you still call us your children because we're covered by the blood of Jesus. Lord, we know there's no good thing that dwells in us. Let us confess and repent now. If we think there's something good in us, let us get off our horse before we're knocked off. And confess there's nothing good in us. But what's greatest about us is the love of our Heavenly Father. Lord, we thank you for your love that penetrates us, changes us, transforms us, leads us towards becoming more and more like our Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, may we never be satisfied with where we have gotten to. Let us stay forever hungry and thirsty, as you say in the Beatitudes, for righteousness. To be more like Jesus. To be more like you, Father. To think the way you do. To see the way you do. To hear the way you do. To speak the way you do. Help us, Father, because we know this is possible through the Holy Spirit. We have but just begun to taste your goodness, and we ask for all of it, Lord. But we know that in order to receive all of it, there are things in us that must be plucked out. There are things in us that must die so that the Holy Spirit can thrive. Help us, Lord, to live this way, to live surrendered every day, being mindful that you are King of Kings every day, so that we can say yes to you every moment, every day, and in every way. Lord, we love you, and we love you, and we love you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
阿爸父神，我们感谢你，当我们真的是再一次匍匐敬拜在你的面前的时候，我们深感是何等的不配。我们里面有各样的罪，我们真的在你的光中，我们一无所存，因为我们没有任何可以讨你喜悦的在我们的里面。我们里面满了各种的骄傲、谎言，我们也有各样的不忠、不义、不贞、不洁。 父啊，我们如何能够靠自己来到你面前呢？我们没有办法。但是因为你的独生爱子在十字架上的救恩，以至于我们重新可以跟你和好，重新来到你的面前来跟你倾心吐意。我们重新可以来到你的面前来向你敬拜、向你赞美、向你来感恩。主啊，这是何等的恩典！ 主愿意你将这样的恩典大而又多的充满在我们的里面，带领我们每一天的生活。主啊，求你的圣灵充满我们，带领我们每一天每时每刻的生活，以至于我们里面心思意念全然的改变。主啊，让我们活得更像你。主耶稣，让我们每一天都可以背起自己的十字架。我们愿意付上代价， 我们愿意跟你一起来受苦。主啊，因为我们愿意来更像你。主耶稣，在这个时候，主啊，求你来 这个触摸我们在座的每一位人，主啊，让他们圣灵能够将你的爱、你的恩典、你的饶恕、你的所有的一切能够触摸他们，让他们在里面能够被更新改变，在里面心思意念能够改变，让我们里面能够真心的说阿爸天父。主啊，我们感谢你，在这个时候，主啊，我们愿意将一切的荣耀、一切的尊贵、一切的权柄都献给你。主，我们感谢你，我们祷告祈求奉主耶稣的名，阿们。
阿们。